Hello there, we are your hosts Vivek and Pavitra from the Agile Coach Podcast. In this podcast, we bring fresh perspectives to you through our interviews with thought leaders in Agile coaching, facilitation, business analysis, and product management roles. Enjoy.
So I don't know about you, but when I was working at large organizations, here was what happened. Somebody would ask me, hey, how long is this going to take? And we would give them an estimate. We'd say 6 weeks is the magic number. Usually people say 6 weeks. And you say, okay, cool. And then the very first day of that thing, you'd have a nice project plan or whatever, and you start tracking it. You're like, we're on track for this. And then you'd ask people a couple days later, how are we doing? They're like, oh, we're doing great. We're on schedule. They might even say ahead of schedule. And they'd be like, no, you can't say ahead of schedule. No, something's going to go wrong. We're going to be behind schedule. So you keep going, and then everything looks good. You make it to about 50%, people start to get nervous, and they're like, well, I think we're good, but something could go wrong. So let's just say that we're on schedule because we don't want to deal with all the pain and suffering that happens if we're off schedule. And you keep going. Then you make it to about the last, what's your magic number? 25%, 10%. And then that's where something goes wrong. That's where that nice little green indicator that was on your project plan or your report goes from green to yellow or red. And then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, we're behind schedule. And they're like, by how much? We're like, we don't know because we can't figure out X, Y, or Z. And you're like, crap. Okay, so when will you know? And then you're like, well, we got to figure this other stuff out. And then you hang at 75, 10%, whatever, until you figure out all of your problems. And then once you figure out all of your problems, then you jump to like 99 or 100%, you're done. So what we do is...
I'll let you finish that.
Oh, it's okay. So what we do with agility is we empirically measure. So we say, look, forget asking for your gut feel. We're just going to look at the work. We're going to say, just show me how long it takes to deliver something. And then show me how long it takes... Those are my dogs in the background. Hold on. I'll let them finish. And then...
There you go.
Okay. So when we're talking about agile estimation, what we're saying is, we're not going to take that gut feel. We're going to instead focus on empirical estimation. So we're going to say, just do the work. Just do the work and then tell us how long that work takes. And then once we know how long that work takes, we compare it to other things. And we say, in the past, when you did this, it took about X amount of time. So that's how long we think we're going to take. And then now there's less gut feel associated.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying, Joe, in a lot of ways, when you ask somebody for hours, they're just making things up. They're just saying, oh, I think this is maybe this amount of hours that we might take. They might not consider all the risk, all the dependencies, all the rework, all the unknown domain that they have to kind of figure it out. They're not taking all that into consideration. So a lot of the times they're wrong. And you're just better off using more of an empirical approach, saying, okay, let's just do this. Let's just see how much it takes. Reflect, and then let's just adjust and use a little bit more of a probabilistic approach than a deterministic approach where you're kind of saying this is what we might do. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and Mike talks about this on his website too. He talks about how our brains aren't really designed to just randomly pluck highly refined numbers out of thin air. Like there's nothing there that says this estimate will take 17,547 hours. Instead, he uses relative sizing because he likes to say that it's based off of the visual cortex. So our brains are geared as living creatures where if you're standing, you know, in front of, let's say you're out on the savanna in Africa and you see a lion and the lion is very, very tiny. Your brain is going to say, either that's an incredibly tiny lion or that lion's far away and I don't have to be afraid of it. Where if you're on the savanna and the lion is huge, your brain is going to say that lion is right in front of me and I should run away. And then that's what he bases relative sizing on. He says, because our brains are geared towards thinking that way, he's like, why don't we just size relatively to things? And so that's what we do. We compare two things and we say, are you bigger or smaller than this other thing? And based on that, then we know, we compute estimations based on that. Wow.
One more point that I wanted to add here is whenever people are estimating, they're estimating the analysis, the design, code, test, and deployment, that those five things, right? However, in reality, whenever you're starting to develop a story, there is some wait for approval. There's wait for people being available to work on that. There's wait for API availability, some higher higher priority works come into the backlog, people have to switch and look at that. There are blockers that happen. There are, you're waiting on some kind of approval and sometimes rework. All of these different things, they actually don't get added up into the estimate whenever you're doing the hour estimation, right? So, you know, these are other factors that can throw your estimates apart. So we talked about why estimation and why not to do it with hours. And let's just kind of talk about story points.
Oh, and real quick before we move on. So that last point. So so that shows up a lot where there's always something that people are concerned about where they say, well, my estimate doesn't include this or it doesn't include that. And you're absolutely right. You want to make your estimates as inclusive as possible. So for example, if you have a bunch of stories that require help from UX designers or from information security or require hardware, hardware's one that shows up a lot. People always say, well, what do I do about these things? Well, you know what? All you should really do is just do the work. Mm-hmm. And then your estimates will show up. There's this thing called the law of large numbers. And basically what it says is, if you just keep estimating or keep running the same experiment over and over again, which every story is really an experiment. Every story is just, how long do we think it will take to deliver this piece of work? And then if you keep running those over and over and over again, eventually all of those dips and spikes work out and you end up roughly where you're going to. So if we don't get too hung up on all of those things and we just say, you know what? You're right. They're like, people always ask, should I amend my stories? Like if it takes a lot longer than I thought it would, should I go back and change my story from one thing to another? The answer is no. You just let that all come out in the wash, because eventually what will happen is once you get enough of those weird spikes out of the way, then you'll be able to go ahead and just concretely deliver. That's part of why we tell people, like, if you want your velocity, to average it over 3 sprints, because especially at the very beginning of a team, you're going to have a lot of these dips and valley or dips and spikes. And it's just better to, you know, say, okay, we'll take 3 of them. And then on the 4th sprint, you're going to have fewer and fewer and fewer of those. And eventually it'll just work out. That's also why you should never have constantly increasing velocity. Because if you're constantly telling your team, no, we want higher velocity, we want higher velocity, you know, incentive drives behavior. So eventually people are just going to say, okay, if he wants higher velocity, then we're just going to make the stories bigger. You're like, all right, a 1 becomes a 2, a 2 becomes a 3, ... And then eventually, like, look, we're delivering 10,000 points a sprint. We're amazing.
So let's just kind of talk, you know, if the audience doesn't know really what are story points, what's the significance of it, what is Fibonacci and what are story points, Joe?
So story points are this made up thing that we apply to stories. Basically saying, hey, look, instead of estimating exactly how long a story is going to take in terms of hours and stuff like that, we're going to relatively size these things. And we relatively size them using a number, because then you can do math on these estimates. Mm. And by the way, the Fibonacci sequence isn't magic. So Bob Schatz was the VP of technology at Primavera a long time ago. And he told us the story about how he came up with these numbers. And he just had this simple rule. He said, no matter what they're doing, and this was when Ken Schwaber was working with them to help improve their delivery, every team had one rule, which was every sprint you have to find something to do to improve. Mm. And one of the teams came to him and they're like, hey, this is what we're going to do to improve. We're going to use the Fibonacci sequence to estimate our stories instead of just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, okay, why? And they said, because the Fibonacci sequence is cool. He was like, okay, great. Have fun with it.
So that's are you serious? Bob Schatz just came that out because he threw out a challenge to his team to improve estimation?
Really? It wasn't chiseled on stone tablets. The teams were just like, hey, we're going to do this stuff and they're going to find ways to improve. And that was just one way one team happened to improve and people liked it. So yeah,
I did not know this origin story. That is amazing.
And this is one of those things that everybody is like, oh, you use the Fibonacci sequence. And then Mike Cohn, in his book on planning poker, copyright Mike Cohn, when he was talking about the modified Fibonacci sequence, he tweaked it too. But yeah, I mean, people just tweak these practices over time to find what works for them. And then the stuff that people really like, gets reused over and over again. So yeah, never be afraid to change the stuff that your teams are doing. I mean, try it and see if it works. If it works, yeah, great, keep doing it.
All right, that's a wrap with this episode. Thank you for listening till the end. We hope these podcasts are providing value on your Agile journey. If you haven't visited our website, theagilecoach.com, we highly suggest you for other courses and supporting material on your journey. You can also get access to our self-paced courses or learn more about the live training that we provide to become a Scrum Master, Product Owner, Product Manager. With that, we will see you on the next episode. Love and best wishes from the Agile Coach.